together. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sya हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण
That's fine.
Yeah, I think it's okay. It's actually better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. So we can just do a quick review, or maybe a little bit longer one. Actually, we covered many of, you missed the classes, I think 2-3 classes. So we'll try to do the recap. So the main thing, now we can start from this slide. So what is the meaning of Sanatan Dharma? How do we define Sanatan Dharma? Sanatan, you attended? You didn't attend.
We were just
you attended this one. Yeah. So how do we define Sanatan Dharma?
Sanatan means eternal. Dharma means our duty. So service to God is our Sanatan Dharma.
So the eternal occupation of the living entity or the spirit soul. And what's the occupation of a spirit soul?
To serve.
So we are always eternal servants. So the service is the main, So is so the Bhagavad Gita teaches about Sanatan Dharma, right? Because we are all the Bhagavad Gita, right? The topic is about the spirit soul, right? As a living entity. So since Bhagavad Gita teaches Sanatan Dharma, so can we consider? Because this kind of a misconception. So we say we are all Hindu, right? We will belong to Hindu religion. So does Bhagavad Gita just belongs to Hindu religion or Hindu people?
No.
Why?
Religion is said to be faith, right? Like, and then faith can change. But this is something universal, like I don't know how to explain, but
no, you are
and you also mentioned that there is nothing like Hindu.
But that's a name given by Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu.
So Bhagavad Gita is considered non-sectarian. Actually, Prabhupada, clearly, if you have read, you would have come across
all
already.
The religions later came. But prior to that, all the religions are same. Only there was one religion when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. It was meant for everyone. But later on, there was some diversion happened.
So Prabhupada clearly mentioned that, religion is kind of a faith. But since we are talking about the eternal occupation of a living entity, so the Bhagavad Gita is a non-sectarian teaching. So Prabhupada clearly says, this Hindu, Muslim, Christian, it's all, kind of a sectarian groupism. So people keep changing from this one. But as a living entity, we cannot change our eternal occupation. And our eternal occupation is always to serve the Supreme Lord. So that's why, we don't, many people say, ISKCON or, this means it's a Hindu. They generally classify in that. But ISKCON or the Hare Krishna movement also, Prabhupada clearly mentioned, it doesn't fall into Hindu category. It's not a part of Hindu category. It's a Sanatan Dharma. That's the higher principle Prabhupada said. So then the next one is, so why did, let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
So, and what is the, no, what are the reasons for Lord's appearance? Why did Lord appear?
To re-establish the purpose of the living entity. To re-establish the dharma. What is the term I'm missing?
Dharma.
Our duty, huh? Dharma.
Yeah. So if you go back, you can read it, but Prabhupada very clearly says it's in this one. So mainly, Lord Krishna came to show his pastimes. You know, to, like for example, in this Prabhupada says, Vrindavan pastimes. So attract the living entities. So otherwise, if you can imagine, if we didn't add Lord Krishna's pastime, or if we didn't know how Lord Krishna looks, everything, so everything would have been a mental speculation. People would have speculated. Like, you know, like this, God may be like this, his pastimes may be like this. So we couldn't, you know the information, the authentic information. So Lord Krishna came, and particularly the Vrindavan experiences. So everything we know, how the Lord looks, you know, what are his pastimes. So mainly to reclaim the living entities. So because we are all lost in this material world now. So without this information, we cannot go back to the Godhead. So main reason the Lord came is to reclaim the living entities. We are all lost, so that's the main reason he came. It's there in the book, so you can read. Yeah, it's very clearly Prabhupada says. And one more thing I wanted to read. Let's see, page 20. So in my book it's page 20, but I will give you the final one. So can you find this verse, Kamais? Can you check? My book is 20, page 20. If you can go to the page 20 and just check.
What is the verse?
Yeah, page 18.
So in the Bhagavad Gita,
Kamaishtaya Ratagnana.
Yeah. Everybody got it? It's 18, right?
18. So, which verse?
No, I'm not. I'm just. We'll read the. I will read the section. So,
yeah.
Mate, it's 20. Check page 20 because I think you have the same book as mine. Check page 20. Did you find that verse?
Kama
is the.
No. Little bit. Next, one page before that.
Okay, so in that, you know, the paragraph Prabhupada says, how one can become happy. So I wanted to read that section, like, you know, we can know how to become happy. So Prabhupada says, Krishna means the highest pleasure. And it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is the reservoir or storehouse of all pleasure. We are all anchoring after pleasure. Anandamaya Vyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. The living entities, like the Lord, are full of consciousness, and they are after happiness. The Lord is perpetually happy, and if the living entities associate with the Lord, cooperate with Him, and take part in this association, then they also become happy. So that's kind of a formula for us. You know, everybody is looking for happiness, no doubt, right? Nobody will say, you know, I don't want happiness, I want to, you know, be in misery. Nobody will say. So here Prabhupada is giving very clear how the formula to go back. And this is where we discuss when we go back to Sanatan Dham, right? That's we discuss. It's there. So when we go back to Sanatan Dham and we, you know, establish that lost link, you know, the link, relationship with the Supreme Lord, then we can become perpetually happy because Lord is perpetually happy. So that's a kind of a formula. It's, you know, it... increases our faith that, you know, there is hope. So that one I wanted to say.
Okay, so question arises then, let's say some many people hear this, by serving the Lord we can be really happy. Why they don't take it up? Everybody wants happiness, right? And we tell them this is the bona fide way to be happy, this is the like real way from the scriptures or
this thing, right? Why people don't take it up?
Because result is not instantaneous,
it takes
time. Okay. For me, it's like the habit of the, I'm so habituated in material happiness that somehow like I'm not able to understand that there is more other happiness.
Okay, so it's like frog in the well, we see from what our experience, we haven't experienced that, so we think, oh, maybe they're all saying something
different. But somehow internally, I know that that's not, this, it is temporary. I'm thinking about something, I got that thing, immediately now I'm happy, and all of a sudden there is another emptiness, and I want something else to
be. Yes.
So it's like continuous journey, somewhere I need to get tired and think about something.
Yes, okay. So people have to reach that point where they are looking for, they're inquiring. So many people haven't reached, so they're still exploring. Okay, they still have a hope. I'm going to still find some water in this world, like water in the desert, right? So I'm still going to, maybe not this, like people say, okay, not India, I'll go to US. Okay, not US, I'll go to Africa. So many places, maybe not. So it's always the search for, enjoyment is not now actually, enjoyment is going to come future. It's always that. And that is a moving target. We reach there, then we don't find it. Again, we'll say, oh, not now. Maybe after 5 years after I get promotion. It's like that. But so, as Mataji said, so they, we need to have little bit of piety. Piety means like some amount of good credits to even turn to the Lord. So people who come to Krishna consciousness or follow any practice, they are not ordinary people. They are really very, very special souls. Every one of us. Because that's why Krishna also treats them very dearly. That's why even Krishna says, even small amount of devotion service you do, there is no loss or diminution. If you, even if you are not able to perfect in this life, it's fine. You can carry on in the next life. At least you have come. But the thing is, it's like Krishna never leaves us from that point onwards. It's like, you know, they explain, it's like joining a mafia gang. You join a mafia gang, you know too much to escape.
You cannot escape.
So Krishna will never leave us once we do some service for our good. It's not like for our good. He will, life after life, he tries to come and give us opportunities again and again. So we may come more closer, and one time we say, okay, finished. This life, Krishna, I want to give it to you. That's why Prabhupada also, many times he told, like one disciple, he told him, so many lifetimes you have tried to enjoy the same thing which you are doing, like having a wife, kids, money, wealth, family, all these things. So many lives you have done, right? So many lives you have done. Just this one life, why don't you give to Krishna? Just try one life, give to Krishna and see what happens. So, like, yeah, we should make, at some point we should make the determination, like, okay, from now on. So once we have that determination, then things will fall in place. It's just a matter of time, how things will arrange, and we will be able to dedicate our whole activities in the day and whole life for Krishna.
The problem is we don't remember all that, right? So again we start, it's like starting from zero again, going after this, going after that.
Yeah, the 24 hours of time, like maybe some seconds, no, and then again go back to the same thing. Again.
Not only that, we're talking about one lifetime, past life. We don't remember any, right? So it's about, oh, so I just wasted so much time. Once we get that, at least we'll go.
At least in this life we can remember, so long we wasted 35, 40 years. So list of like some 20 years or 30 years, we should try to use it properly.
Okay, so the next one we went through, you know, the description of the Goloka, like, you know, different abodes, like, you know, spiritual world. So in that we also discussed about how the spiritual world, there is no sun, moon, fire, electricity, there is nothing. But it's all illuminated by the effulgence of the Lord, the body, the rays. It illuminates the whole spiritual world. So there is no need for, you know, sun, moon, all those things. Because we have a conception that, like our material conception, only there should be a sun to get the light, like we see. But in the spiritual world, there is no need for sun or moon. So it's all explained, so we'll do it. And also in this, no, Prabhupada says, one who reaches there never returns back to material world. So because we already learnt our lesson, because we are all one point we are all spiritual entities. So there, when we are envy of the Lord, we fell down, right, to the material world. So after experiencing all this, you know, the pain, miseries, so when we go back, for sure we know we have learned our lesson, so we'll never return. So that's why it said that one who reaches there never returns back to material world.
So what all this written, like spiritual planets floating in Brahmajyoti?
Yeah, that's all Vaikuntha plan. I'll go to the next picture, so it will give you more. So this, I took the picture, I don't know how many, it's outside also, the bigger picture of this. So this is one universe, right? This is just one universe. So this is one universe, whatever we have, like Earth, right? This is where we are, planet. And like this, we have multiple, you know, in material world, we have multiple floating universes. And this is where this all Brahmajyoti. This is ocean. Once you cross this ocean, these are all spiritual planets. After this, it's all spiritual planets. And these are all small, small things, are Vaikuntha planets, when you see in the picture. And this is where Goloka, like this is Ayodhya Dham, like that.
We have more magnified ones.
Anjun Prabhu.
Yeah, I got it. I can see.
Okay, I think that's how much it will come.
Yeah, that's all. Anyway, it's outside also.
Outside,
you can
outside
read. It has all the description of the spiritual planetary system. All the descriptions are very clearly there.
And this is what is described in the Bhagavad-gita.
Srimad. It's actually, all description is in Brahma Samhita. All the, everything has a verse for each one. It's very clearly in Brahma Samhita. It's there. So I just made a close of, not close up of, this is just one universe. Okay.
Yeah.
Which one? Garbhodaksha Vishnu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we discussed this last time. We gave a brief overview of all these things. Mm-hmm. So essentially what will happen is, first is this Karana ocean. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a causal ocean. Karana means cause. Causal ocean. So in that causal ocean, the Lord Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, he lies down. He's here.
Bottom.
That's called, there are three Vishnus, you know that, right? Mahavishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Yeah, see, he's Karanadakshaya Vishnu. It's written Karanadakshaya Vishnu. He lies down. When he exhales from his pores, all these universes emanate. See, these universes are coming out from his pores. They start as a small golden seed, and then within that, Lord enters himself as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When he enters, he, because of his sweat, the water, the tall water comes, which is the Garbhodaka ocean. That's all from his body sweat. And then from his navel comes the lotus flower. See here,
yes,
we can see,
picture,
right? Like the lotus flower, and then Brahma appears and everything is dark. He doesn't know what to do. Then he gets inspiration to tapa, do tapasya. When he does tapasya, then it will be revealed that he has to create this universe. So that's why original creator is the Lord, but Brahma is considered secondary creator. So ingredients, everything is given by the Lord, and Brahma puts them together, that's all.
He's the chief engineer of the universe. He's considered the chief engineer.
And he's the most intelligent person in the universe. Then he creates all these 14 planetary systems. So these 14 planetary systems are, it's like as if they are within the stem. So this is the stem, right? Within that, there are many planetary systems, and middle one is the Bhuloka. There are like 7 below and 6 above. And within that, and then also the, all these demigods, everything, they are appear here only. So when we, let's say if we worship them, we go to their place. So that also gets annihilated.
Who is the superintendent of material universe?
Durgama.
She is the superintendent.
So when Mahavishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu inhales, these universes go back into his body. So all the living entities, they remain as a within his body, and the universes basically diminish. So that's a lifetime of a universe. One lifetime of a universe is one breath basically. So you can imagine how, and that universe is 100 days of Brahma, and each day of Brahma has 100 Divya Yugas.
Yeah, we, I sent
yeah.
this scale.
Yeah, we sent that.
It's pretty complicated,
this.
But...
so,
sorry.
Then, that's all, this is all the universe, right? Yeah. We covered all, and this, there are like multiple layers, there are eight layers of the universe. After all this, we'll see earth, water, and each one is 10 times thicker. So now imagine, we are somewhere here in Bhuloka, in some planet, in some city, some small soul. So if the soul has to go to Goloka, it has to travel through all these layers. Like if you have to really see physical traveling, right?
Taking
it has to travel through all these layers, go through Karana Ocean, Brahma Jyoti, effulgence, cross all the Vaikuntha planets, reach Goloka Vrindavan at the Lord's lotus feet. So that is, if you have to really see what is the traveling we have to do, that's what we need to do. But then because soul is subtle, spirit, right? Subtle, it will not, subtle travels faster. So it's not, like it's not like we take a motor vehicle and travel like that. That's why Prabhupada also condemns that, because many times people said, oh, we went moon, right? Moon expedition. Prabhupada said it's not possible we have reached the moon, because moon is farther away from sun. So how, and also Vedic literature says we need to have certain qualifications to reach the moon planet. So just by taking a vehicle, we cannot reach there.
Actually, Prabhupada never...
Moon within the universe.
Actually, there is a, you know, the same time, I think 19... What? Which year did they go? 1960?
69.
So Prabhupada was there that time. So they were watching on the TV. So they showed the, you know, the landing in the TV. They were showing the landing or, you know. Then Prabhupada clearly told it's not possible. They didn't go to moon. So, because it's in scripture, it's clearly said, if you want, moon is higher planet, right? It's higher planetary system. Devatas, there are devatas in the moon planet. So, if you want to go to the moon, any higher planets, you need to have a qualification to go. Means you need to have a very pious background or pious activities you should accumulate to go. By, then Prabhupada told, by using any motor or any mechanism like, you know, rocket or anything, you can never reach. So he clearly told, clearly told that they never went to moon. So they would have gone somewhere, you know, in between planetary system. They would have just landed. And after that, there was a big controversy here also saying that it's all studio made. It's all, you know, studio, they made it in a studio. There's a big controversy on that still going on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Prabhupada, the Vedic conclusion is, we cannot go to any higher planets with any mechanical arrangements. It's not possible unless you have very pious credits.
Essentially, soul has to get that pious credits
to travel.
So that's how soul has to prepare himself similarly to reach the Goloka Vrindavan. So that also it has to acquire the qualification to. That's what we'll come to the next slide, where we talk about what are the qualifications to reach that abode. That's what is the next section we covered.
And also Prabhupada gave example of, you know, if you want to come to US, right?
Mm.
If you just go to the border, they don't allow you, let you in, right? So you need to have
visa.
Lot of paperwork, visa, everything. So it's the same thing you said. Any planet you want to go, you need to have a visa to enter. So without proper qualification, you'll never be able to enter. So this is just a magnified, different planetary systems like that. So in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Prabhupada says, so it doesn't advise us to go to any of these planets, right, or in the material world. Why is it so? Why it's not, it doesn't advise you to go to, because higher planetary system, you get a lot of happiness. You can be very, you know, you can be happy for a long time. Satyaloka, all these planets, you can be very, very happy.
Because it is still temporary and you have every possible way to call back to this earthly planet again, unless you don't escape from the whole thing.
And what's other reason? It's temporary.
No,
that's
the primary problems. Right?
Yes. So, that's... So, Prabhupada very clearly says this. One who can approach that spiritual sky is not required to descend again to the material sky. In the material sky. So he's talking about all these planets. Even if we approach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, what to speak of the moon, we will find the same conditions of life. Namely, birth, death, disease and old age. No planet in the material universe is free from these four principles of material existence. That's why Bhagavad Gita never advises us to go to any of these planets. So we
see,
always say
one common thing, analogy we can think about, which we can relate, right? Sometimes we feel, okay, this job is very boring. There is no promotion. They are not going giving anything. Same, it's not so exciting. Maybe I'll get that job, other job in that company. That's much more prospective, right? We have that dream and we go there, but our karma follows us. There also we'll end up with the same thing, right? So same, similarly, we may feel, oh, I may go to this planet. There is much more enjoyment. No, it may seem like that, but after that, again, we have to face the same things again. The essence is same.
Yeah, so yeah, we can then, but the whole thing comes
yeah.
in this four
That's
problems.
Right, yeah.
Done.
Yeah, this is, we just covered the reflection. This material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So if in 15th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that it's like an inverted banyan tree. So the, we will not bother too much about the details given in the picture, but the essence is when there is a reflection, we know there is something reality. So if we have, we are seeing something in this world like love or relationships or whatever, we know that the things in their real sense or in their pure sense also exist. That is in the spiritual world. There is pure relationships, there are selfless love, which we don't see here, and that's why people get frustrated. It's like, what is this, right? But then there is something real existing in the spiritual world. Right, yeah, that's the main point of this slide. That's why we didn't want to hold on. Yeah, these are all given in 15th chapter.
It's very explained in the
Yeah, it's given like, for example, what does the leaves represent? What are the what is the reflection on? It's on what? Usually, reflection is on water, but this reflection is on desire. Based on desire, we enter the material world, and all those things are given in 15th chapter.
It says the material world is a perverted reflection of the
spiritual
world.
Yeah, spiritual.
Oh, okay, is that wrong?
Oh, the spiritual world.
And the banyan tree comes into picture because...
Now, Krishna describes that as a banyan tree, the spiritual world, and material world as an inverted banyan tree.
Oh, okay.
So, whatever exists here, it's pure form existence.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And one example the Prabhupada mentions is, you know, love in spiritual world, here in material world, it's kind of a lust. That's it. So what's the closest thing in the material world which comes close to the love? What's the pure love in material world you can find?
Mother.
Yeah, that's the purest, close to love. That's the only thing you can find. Other things, Prabhupada says, it's all kind of, you know, mixed, perverted. Something or the other, you know, you have some kind of, you know, expectation or something. So whenever we have some expectation, that means it's not unconditional. If something which is not unconditional, that means it's some motivation and it's not pure.
Okay, so this is what we covered, new topics we covered last class, which are like how to attain this abode then. Okay, we have talked a little bit about this abode and now we have a desire to go back. So what are the practical things we can do now to go there? Right, that's a topic Prabhupada is covering now. So there,
nobody was
covered
there.
We covered already last time.
But nobody was there.
Only Sahu Prabhu was there. So what are the qualifications, Prabhu, to attain the?
Today I have to take
the
Sangeeta Mataji.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, even I was not there. So
Mataji, haven't posted that.
Yeah, after this I
will. Okay, so yeah, in the last class actually Mataji told that Nirmana Moha. Nirmana means Ni means no, and Man means false ego, and Moha is illusion. So when we get rid of false ego and illusion, then we become qualified to the Lord's abode. And second, that's the one way to go to Lord, and second is to remember Krishna at the time of day. And also we talked about how to you know, instead of reading newspapers or watching TV, we should be reading Vedic literature.
Yeah,
and
also,
everyday's activity, we should...
Hey, Naman.
So, we should try to include Krishna in our day-to-day life. For example, remembering Krishna when we get up in the morning and when we are cooking, then we should think that we are cooking it for Krishna. And when we are eating, then we should think that, you know, we are eating so that we can remember Krishna.
But you can explain.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
You are back. Class is here, Prabhu.
Prabhu, there is that room, the music class was going on. Can you check if it's over? Can you do it there? I don't know how many students you have.
Maybe they
need. In the top also, there is another class which is free.
Okay. Yeah, it's free. Check. Yeah.
Okay.
Free.
Thank you. The other one is free?
Yeah, the one on the top one. Top.
Yeah, because top one, that's where the
other device
class is. So that should be free.
Prabhu, the other device class is free. Oh. They don't have device today.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So I was thinking, so if this class is here,
send them up. Okay.
Okay.
Saturday,
yeah, I didn't know he has
two devices. One is the one that started before and the one that
I didn't know he was doing here.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
He usually does that here. He brings all the chairs and sets it up. Saravanan Prabhu,
No.
Madhavachandra.
Okay, so briefly we'll go over this. So as Prabhu said, like Nirmana Moha, free from false pride and illusion, right? Then we discussed about how false pride leads to illusion and how illusion leads to false pride. Then Prabhupada also talks about that these are basically bodily designations. Because of bodily designations, we remain here. Because we covered, right? Why do we take birth? If you have to question that, we take birth because we have desires and we want to enjoy, and the only way we can do is by having a body in the material world. So once we are free from designations, like we don't want to become, let's say, a wife, we don't want to become a president, we don't want to become like a great employee, all those things, if we don't have desires, we don't need to take birth. So that means we are free from bodily designations. That is the qualifications to go to spiritual world. And Prabhupada gives very, very like punchline there. He says that as long as we are bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments, we do not get entry to the spiritual kingdom. It's very clear. So everything should be clear. All our desires, everything should be clear. Actually, very nice pastime is there where Prabhupada told once that, I'm trying to recollect now the details, but Prabhupada told, okay, if one is 100% sarvadharma parityaja, that verse. He said like one is 100% surrendered, that's when he can go to spiritual world. Then all the disciples said, Prabhupada, that's too much, like 100%, how can we give up everything in this life, one life, it's too much. Then Prabhupada said, okay, not 100%, maybe 90%. 90%, at least you get rid, then it's fine. Then also said, no, it's too much, it's too much. Then finally Prabhupada came to 75%. 75%, that's all, monaching, nothing less than that. So 75%, you should get rid, then only you can go. So actually, we have special mercy that... especially Prabhupada is such an empowered acharya and he has given all the process, everything to us. Just if we remain loyal and faithful to Prabhupada's instructions, he told actually, we just chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, in this life we will go back to Godhead. So he gave, and because Krishna never lets his devotee's word go in vain, right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya pratijanahi name bhaktya pranashyati. He says, Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. Krishna didn't say, my devotee never perishes. Because Krishna sometimes, he violates his own promises. We have covered that examples, like Bhishma Deva, all these examples. Sometimes, based on the situation, Krishna doesn't mind violating his own promise because he doesn't care for his own reputation. He cares about his devotees. But he is saying, Arjuna, you declare that my devotee never perishes. Because your word I am going to keep. Right?
You remember the example of Bhishma Dev? Anybody knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Prabhu, you know Bhishma Dev example?
No. What? Which is the moment take up?
So, so Bhishma Dev, Krishna, he made a promise that he will never take weapon. You know that one.
In the Kurukshetra war.
But Bhishma Dev made a promise saying he will make Krishna break his promise. So he made a promise saying, you know, I will make Krishna break his promise. So he has to take weapon. Then that's the time when, you know, Bhishma Dev was fighting like anything. He was, you know, he's a very powerful archer, right? Very powerful fighter. So Arjuna is almost about to die. Actually, they all become stunned. Actually, he killed most of the Pandava side, everybody. So Arjuna was about to be killed by Bhishma Dev. That's the time when Krishna broke the chariot wheel. That's the time when he took the chariot wheel. He ran towards Bhishma Dev to kill Bhishma Dev. So basically Krishna broke his promise to keep Bhishma Dev's promise. Bhishma Dev promised that he will make Krishna
break his promise.
So,
and to protect Arjuna, both.
Of course,
to keep Bhishma Dev's promise and also to protect Arjuna, Krishna doesn't mind breaking his promise.
His promise. Yeah.
But then people may say, oh, Krishna will break his promise. If Krishna says, I'm going to protect his devotees, then we may not trust, right? Mm-hmm. So, but then he's saying, Arjuna, you declare. So, like that, Prabhupada's word, Krishna will not let go in vain. Like that. So, we'll go to the next slide. So, this also we covered where, for example, now we are. So, when he says, right, this verse, this is the key to attain Krishna at the moment of death, 8.5. Antakalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya asamshaya.
8.5.
And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So Krishna is declaring very clearly that at the end of his life somebody remembers me, then he will immediately attain my nature. There is no doubt about it. And what is Krishna's nature? Krishna's nature is Satchidananda Vigraha. So he's full of Sat. Sat means eternal. Chit full of knowledge and Vigraha Ananda is full of happiness. But whereas now what are we experiencing?
We are
Nirananda, Achit and Asat.
Our body.
Our body, right? See, our body is temporary and we full of ignorance. We don't even know about this material world completely. Forget about spiritual world. Full of ignorance. And we are always experiencing misery because Prabhupada said misery happens because of the, just by the nature of having a body, we are bound to have misery. Because body has to get old, it has to get disease, it has to die. Right? By design. It's like there is no, it's not like by accident. By design, we are bound to have misery. So that is our present nature. But what we can do with this body is utilize this life in serving Krishna or remembering Krishna. So at the moment of death, if suppose we remember Krishna, then we attain that spiritual world, spiritual nature. But if you don't remember Krishna, then the fate of the next body is decided by the higher authorities according to our activities, according to our karma and according to what we deserve. Karma in both in the sense of activities and also in the sense of the what we deserve.
What is that picture about?
Yeah, I think it's just a devotee.
No, saving. I think this one is, you know, actually its analogy is given like, you know, everybody is in a
ocean
of material existence. So we are drowning. So when you call out for Krishna or Vishnu, that's the time when they come and save you from there.
Yeah.
So in this one, right, in this verse 8.5, it says, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone. So it said, looks like it's, you know, everything points, comes to the final, you know, the, what do they say?
Final moment.
No, usually in the movies they say, right, movie, end of
climax.
The movie, climax. So, looks like the climax comes to the death, right? Looks like at the end of the, you know, time of when we are dying. So, is it possible for us to remember Krishna at the time of death? Just, we don't practice anything now. So, we just, so at the end of time, is it possible
or
for us to remember?
Or somebody says, last time we covered this, if somebody says, okay, Krishna promises the moment of death, if I remember Krishna, I'm going to go, right? So, okay, that's fine. I got the secret code to spiritual world, right? So, whole life I'm going to do something else, something differently. And the moment of death, I'm going to remember Krishna, I'm going to go. That's all finished. This is my strategy. So, if somebody says like that, how Do we all agree with this, first of all?
It's possible, but the problem is you don't know when you're going to die.
Exactly. So that's one argument to defeat that.
And the second point is that God knows what kind of circumstance you are in and what you are thinking about.
But then again, it's like attending, like going to the examination. You know, the whole time you don't read, and I would think that tomorrow I'll go, I think the exam and I'll
right.
do best.
Right.
It doesn't happen. You have to always prepare for
something. Exactly. So death is like a final exam.
So death is like
it is said that actually there is art of living, right?
No, the device.
Class?
Yeah.
It's upstairs.
Upstairs, yes.
I think we should just print something from the device classes upstairs.
We have tape for that.
We don't have tape.
You want to take a paper?
We don't have a tape.
Tape?
I'll find out also.
No, tape is okay.
No, I can find out. Probably just write device classes upstairs. I'll get tape. I'll put it.
What is the meaning of Vigraha? Sachidananda?
Vigraha means form.
Form.
Form. So Sachidananda and also form. His form is Sachidananda.
Thinking of Krishna, not his form, right?
Same. Krishna and Krishna's form are non-different, right?
They're non-different.
When you think of Krishna, see, when you, see, if I say, Madhavi. See, if I say Madhavi, what do you think of? Immediately you think about her form, how he dresses her hair, everything comes, right? Name reveals everything.
Mm.
So Krishna doesn't mean just the word Krishna. Krishna is absolute, especially Krishna is absolute. In the sense that his name, his form, his pastimes, his activities, they are non-different. That's why actually Prabhupada says in this purport, in the this thing, when Krishna says, always remember me, in Bhagavad Gita he says, Manmana Bhava, always remember me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Kirtaniya Sadahari, you chant Lord's holy names whole 24 hours. Both instructions are same actually. Chanting the names of the Lord, means because Lord is not different from himself, it also means remembering him. So the practical way we can do is by chanting his name. At this right point, right, we can't just keep thinking, okay, what pastimes are going on. That's not the process. Like we can hear that, because that gives us impetus to go back. But we ours is a sadhana bhakti, where we practice and eventually the whole things will be revealed to us. Because the devotion is there within the heart and everything is there. The soul is pure. We just have to cleanse the dirt. So, what were we discussing here?
The last moment.
Last moment, okay. What are the other arguments we could give? Defeat that.
No, you don't put if then else with God. Many people better than us, so try
and okay, that's a good thing.
One class,
we should learn from seniors, that's what Prabhu is telling. Yeah.
In one class, Mata Prabhu had said, like, if you lose your like $100, the amount of pain you feel, and think about when you are dying, you know it, still you can think about the how many things you are losing.
Yes, exactly.
And the pain will be so intense, so, mental, physical, both way. So it won't be easy for you to think something else other than the
home. Correct. That's very nice.
Like
so
when we are in pain,
yes.
I think the first thing that we remember is our mother.
Death is more painful than just losing $100. She's trying to say.
Yeah.
If you lose $100, you immediately you become very worried. Oh my God, I lost $100, right?
Yeah.
So a simple $100 gives you so much of pain. Think about when you are losing your family.
Losing so
the whole thing
everything.
About
everything.
That, the build your pot, about like everything.
So it's death is more very, very painful. So it's not normal unless we practice the whole life to remember Krishna at the moment of death. That's another this thing.
No, I was saying that, you know, especially when you are praying, what you remember is something very who is very close to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. That's
I
another
mean, yeah, whatever you practice and all, but will that like let's say I've been you know, I have not seen my mother for the past 3 or 4 years, right? But you know, when you're hurt and you're really pain, Amma is what you started on.
Yeah.
Ma is what you started.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Like, you know, that's how we have been groomed, and that's also.
Yeah.
So until unless we don't practice that Krishna consciousness,
exactly. So that
the Lord will not happen.
Yeah, that's another argument. Whatever we are most attached to, that's what we'll remember.
Yeah.
So if whole life, if we practice attachment to Krishna, then we will remember Krishna at the moment of death.
It's very actually that's what Prabhupada discusses. If you read this one. Many pages actually. Remaining of introduction is almost like about this one only. Remembering Krishna, how to remember, that's the whole thing. Is remaining few pages is about that only. Prabhupada discusses very nicely.
Okay, so we'll go to the next slide.
So, this is all fine, but there seems, at least for me, that no end to desires keep coming and coming.
Yeah, it is.
Desires, what desires? What do you mean?
Want to see movie, want to go, do this.
That's okay, it's a gradual process. You know that it's not a one time. It's you don't get it like that. But the endeavor should be there.
Actually, we also have unlimited.
Yeah.
Everyone
desires.
Desire. There is no stoppage.
You cannot stop desires.
You cannot imagine day where you not have desires.
That's impossible.
You have to change the desire. Now you will desire. Okay. Now I want to attend more and more kirtan. I want to come to temple more and more. I want to move closer to temple. I want to do more and more service. Right? Our desire is to go to Krishna closer and closer. That's all. We have to change that desire. So same, like for example, my sister, right? She moved from India. She got married and she's in Dallas. Still she has not come to the stage to take up Krishna consciousness. So whenever I say, okay, we are going to this place, that place, then they are also going to this place, that place. But their motivation and everything is different. And our motivation, everything is different. Still, seemingly, like
same
we are also
activity.
Taking flights, we are also passing security, we are
same
also...
Same activity.
Somebody will say, okay, let's say Las Vegas also, there are temples. If I take a ticket to Las Vegas, people will say, oh, Mataji is gone, she's in Maya, right? But maybe we are going to preach there, we don't know. I'm just giving like... So, activities remain the same. The consciousness have to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to... That's why, Krishna is so wonderful. He sees that essence. Because it's so subtle, he doesn't see the result. Like for example, are this person really 16 rounds completely focusing on the holy name? Yes, 100% I'm going to give him A+. Oh, this person is struggling, is trying, is not able to chant. Okay, not so great. No, Krishna sees that essence. This person from the core of his heart, he wants to come closer to me. That's what I see. That's what is sincerity. Krishna just sees our sincerity. That's also that. That should give us lot of hope. Because we are so conditioned and so much kind of handicapped also. Because we have the desire even to desire to serve Krishna, but many times we are not able to. So we should see that, okay, somebody is watching me, somebody is taking care of me, and eventually it will come.
So the desires will be there, Prabhu. It's for everybody.
It's like a mind, if you take this mind, if this is a mind, it will have all these small things, desire, kind of full of material things. So consciously you try one thing out and put Krishna.
Yeah.
One thing out and put Krishna. Yeah. Gradually, fill your mind, because mind cannot stay empty.
No,
either
cannot.
You have material thing or spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Have to
correct.
To
so idle
yes.
Mind is
devil's
workshop. No, really.
Yeah.
So mind cannot be empty. You cannot keep it empty.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Arjuna says even the mind is even more difficult to control than the
raging
wind.
Yeah.
Can you control wind? Mm-hmm. No way. It's impossible. So mind is even more difficult to control than the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So the desires are there. It's just the quality of the desires. And the devotional service, you need a lot of patience and it's a gradual process. So you should always remember that. It takes time.
And
because
also,
we are conditioned. So we are conditioned for so long and we need to kind of uncondition the whole thing. Take out something, fill something. So that's what we have done for so long. We are doing slowly, we are replacing with positive activities. That means devotional service.
And at some point, we have to invest in it. We have to have, because we have this little faith we are getting through hearing everything. Now we need to act on it. That's when the knowledge comes into realization.
Mm.
Once we have that realization, that taste will remain with us. We know what is the experience of attending a Sunday kirtan versus dancing in some pub. We know what is experience. Once we have that, then because our intelligence will become purified, then we'll know, okay, I actually like this much better than this, so I'm going to choose this. So it's a matter of higher taste. Just we have to acquire that taste and we have to invest as much as we have to keep. Essentially, Sadhu Sangha, Association of Devotees, is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because devotees always remind us of Krishna. Just by the way they are doing things or their activities, or just by, you know, when you touch them, they talk about Krishna. So association with devotees is very crucial. Every stage in life. Okay. So this was the next section. Prabhupada was talking a little bit different. Where he was talking about destination of different people. So at the bottom we have material planets. There are many, like we covered that, right? Many universes of this, one of this is... There are like 14 planetary systems, everything. So materialists, like who don't do any spiritual activity or don't do seek any benefit for the soul, they just remain again and again in this material planet. Maybe this universe, maybe next universe, whatever, they pass away from here, but they are somewhere else, they are within the same realm again, taking birth again and again. And that jiva, we know jiva is, what are the three energies of the Lord?
Internal energy, marginal energy, and external energy.
Okay. So somebody else can explain what is internal energy. I think you went to India. Prabhu, you know that, right? No, not sure. Okay. So internal energy, can somebody explain? Yes, spiritual energy.
That's the superior.
Yogamaya.
Yeah, Yogamaya. That's the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. So Yogamaya's main function is to bring soul closer to Krishna. Spiritual energy's main function is to bring soul closer to Krishna. And next one is material energy, Mahamaya. Mahamaya. So material energy and spiritual energy creates what? The spiritual world, right? All of us living entities are made of spiritual energy. And Lord, spiritual energy, all this, and the Dham, everything is all spiritual energy.
He said, when they create the spiritual world, spiritual is not manifested. This is unmanifested.
Yes.
Then
create means like...
It's there.
It's the energy which sustains it is spiritual energy.
Not like the create energy.
Not like that.
It stays.
That's why it's avyakta, unmanifested. And the material energy is Mahamaya, and its main function is to take us away from Krishna, and that is the one which produces all this material nature, like buildings or matter, earth, water. This is all comprised of material energy. And
so,
the jiva.
So the spiritual energy is on which everything sustains. Yes. So it's the spiritual energy.
Everything means the spiritual world.
The spiritual world.
And so material energy is like within here, like wherever we see, like let's say. Matter, right? Matter which doesn't have consciousness, like wood, everything, this is all material energy. Like our body is made of material energy.
Which
but
goes through six
spirit.
Transformations.
Soul is spirit. The spirit is in a body made of matter. That is where it causes the incompatibility.
So how do we differentiate?
Material energy is sustained by the spiritual energy.
Yeah, in one way, yes. Because the source of anything is spirit anyway.
Yeah.
So, yes, correct. So, but the jiva, so what is the marginal energy? Tatastha Shakti is the living entity, right? Tatastha Shakti, marginal energy is the jiva. Why it's called marginal?
Because we get influenced by that small free will and we can go either that way or this way.
Exactly. So, we can be influenced by Yogamaya or Mahamaya. Both of them are very powerful. The living entity is like in between. It's like as if Tatastha means as if on the bank of the river. So it can be either going inside the water or it can stay on the land. So like that same, here another words are given for material energy or spiritual energy. So material energy is also called as Apara Prakriti. Apara. Para is transcendental. Para is transcendental. So that's a spiritual, superior energy. And apara is not transcendental, which is material energy. So jiva could be influenced by either of this.
So superior energy is the same as internal energy?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Superior energy, internal energy, yoga maya.
Yoga. There are synonyms for. So how do we differentiate like something which is matter and spiritual? There is one thing which you can apply, that principle, which by applying you can say that, you know, that's kind of a matter or...
This is material. Or this is spiritual.
Consciousness.
It
is missing.
Eternity.
No. This is at a lower level I'm seeing. You know, you can see something which is matter. You can tell this is matter. just by applying, you know, it's like that principle you can apply. We discuss that, but yeah, of course, we discuss so many things. I cannot expect you to.
So it goes through that. Is it taking
towards Krishna or away from Krishna? Some tamrus.
Okay, you tell. I also
don't know what you're asking. So anything matter or material, it has to go. It goes through the six transformations. You remember the six transformations we discussed?
Mm. Birth, death.
It stays
growth,
for some time.
Produces byproducts.
We discussed that. Maybe everybody forgot. Everybody is blind.
Dwindles.
So that's material, which goes through usually six transformations. Mm. That means it is temporary. And the spiritual is always eternal. It doesn't, you cannot apply that, you cannot apply that principle for the spiritual thing.
See, for example, when we were small, we had a different body. Like, as we grow, we were changing bodies. But our mother still calls us the same. Right? She will still treat us like a child, her own child. So the soul, because she knows her relationship is with the soul, but the body is changing, still she identifies like that. So here Jiva can be influenced by both of them. So now let's say somebody wants to attain Brahma Jyoti, right? He's called Brahmavadi. Brahmavadis are more attracted to the impersonal form of the Lord. So they just remain as a spark in the Brahma Jyoti. Whereas the Paramatmavadis or the yogis who meditate on the Paramatma or the devotees who serve the Supreme Lord, they all attain the Vaikuntha planets. So there are all these different colored planets are Vaikuntha planets, and there in the middle there is the central Goloka planet. So they all have the destination in the spiritual planets. So this whole material creation is 1/4 of the whole creation. So actually we think, oh, this itself is too huge, right? But actually there are many living entities serving the Lord. This is just a prison house. Only few people are here. But actually there are many, many living entities already with the Lord.
Yeah, so it says here 1/4 is the material world and 3/4 is the spiritual world.
So another analogy here, which we didn't discuss last time, which I came across now to understand this, is like a kingdom and a king's palace and king. So, okay, there are like multiple, let's go through this, it's very nice. Essentially to understand these destinations, right? So let's say there is king and there is a king palace and the kingdom, right? And there are two people who enter the kingdom. One person just remains in one of the village in the kingdom, everything. But one person enters into the king's palace. So the person who remains in the border is a Brahmavadi. He just remains as a spark, right? But the person who enters into the kingdom, king's palace, is like a Paramatmavadi or devotee who enters to have a personal relationship with the king, with the Lord, right? So that's one understanding. And the next one is, so king may have many brothers who are equally powerful as him, but still he is the main controller. He has many brothers who can have same amount of powers like that. So similarly, in all these Vaikuntha planets, Lord personally expands as the Narayana form. In all of these planets, the Lord is the presiding deity and all the devotees serve him like that, right? And another point is, in kingdom we have different types of people and different types of relationship with the king. Somebody is his mother, somebody is his daughter, somebody is his servant, somebody is neutral, somebody just pays taxes and doesn't care about the king. There are different people. So similarly, in spiritual world, there are different relationships with the Lord, the five different rasas that we talked about. Somebody is a friend, somebody is a lover, somebody is neutral, mother, vatsalya, five different rasas. And another point is, servant in the king's palace, when compared to the minister, right? Servant in the king's palace is more intimately connected with the king when compared to his minister. Minister is officially used. Only when king comes to duty, he will do his duties, and after that doesn't care about what king is doing like that most of the time. But servant knows exactly in and out what's happening, what anxiety king has, which person is going to attack him, all those things.
Like so, personal
moral
test. Personally you are attested.
Exactly. So similarly, a servant in Goloka is much more intimately related to the Lord when compared to person in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, it's a mood of awe and reverence and a mood of servant. A mood of official relationship. Whereas in Goloka, it's more intimate relationship. Like that. So these things we can understand from this analogy of king. So what does the king represent? Okay, now let's talk about king, kingdom and king's palace. All of these, how do we, what are the analogies
so
with the spiritual world? Who is king?
Lord.
Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who is kingdom? What is kingdom?
Kingdom would be the
whole spiritual world. Okay. King's palace?
Goloka.
Yes. Okay. That's good. So,
okay, everybody?
Confused? Okay, we want to remind you again. So, end of the introduction, which may be in 2-3 weeks, we'll go, you're going to, all of you are going to have an exam. So, either. No, because we want all of you to read your notes and also the introduction. It's very sweet when you read Prabhupada's.
But it is a huge also, like the whole introduction is huge. And
that's why, okay, that's why I'm going to give a tactic. So, either we can have immediately after covering introduction the next week itself exam, or we can have 2-3 weeks after that. So, you have that amount of time to read, or maybe you'll forget introduction because we'll already study Bhagavad Gita first chapter. So, that's why I'm telling now. So, from now on, you read little and cover your notes, mark your points or questions or whatever. Right? So, you prepare from now.
Not complicated. No. It will be simple. Not.
I'm just saying that I'm off for 2 weeks, so I have to come back.
We'll plan. We'll work around everybody's time. Yeah.
July 6th, we might not be able to come because of that convention. So
okay, sure. Yeah, we'll figure out the
we'll
dates.
Plan everybody whenever everybody is there, we'll plan.
But this is just
this
to
is just
make you ready that okay, there's something coming up like that. It's a written test. It'll be say 1 hour test. Some will be essays. Some will be essays means
like comprehensive
5-6. Like for example, we'll have we can ask like this, and like explain the analogy of king, kingdom, and king's palace with respect to spiritual world. Then you have to explain all these points. Right? And something like, for example, what are the three energies of the Lord? And why, our another question is, the living entity is spiritual energy, but still why he comes in the influence of material energy, which is inferior. Right? We covered this. All these things we covered. And then...
Yes, we will, even though it's superior, but material energy
is so powerful.
Superior because it's vast in size.
Yeah,
it's quantity. Still, good to discuss and to write, we have to think a lot.
Yes. So, I'm giving you now, giving you...
Father has said, right, we have four problem with us, like we cheat, we lie, we do.
Yeah, that's one question we can ask.
Deficient.
Four defects.
Defects
of you.
No, so what?
No, if you read this once introduction, you know, just from starting to end, you can answer.
And also, one way to remember everything nicely is whenever you read, you ask a question. Like, what is this talking about? Like, for example, right? If you do this, then it will go more deeper. Like, right, when you read something, okay, what is Prabhupada telling you? Okay, he's telling now about how to remember Krishna practically. Or, okay, now he's telling about different energies of the Lord. When you have that questions, you can write down all these questions in your notebook. Then you know, these are all the answers of this, you know already.
So, you are saying, it's like Jeopardy, answer your question.
Yes.
And also, we'll go based on the PPT, so it will be easy. If you can read PPT, make notes, take this thing, the reference, then we'll cover, we'll give mostly from the PPT because this will be too many pages for them to read.
PPT is summary of this.
Yeah, I know, that's why we'll give the punch points from the PPT. So if you have referred to the PPT, you should be able to answer.
No, they should be able to do probably. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough paper. Yeah.
Our marks won't be disclosed to anyone.
No, it's only your
marks. Your marks are great.
Mataji, I remember my school days when we used to have two different kind of teacher, right? One strict and
one strict. We are like that.
I think my paper should be kind of
Yeah. They're already in the book. Yeah. But then we have been updating this with the verse numbers, everything. So finally, just before the exam, I will again update the final one. Yes.
Send you the PowerPoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we all are afraid of Shyamala Mataji.
No, really, you will really enjoy it.
The problem is, Mataji, while reading will feel it's good.
Yeah.
But remembering is
no, that's why when you prepare for an exam, you have more retention actually.
Yeah.
And more absorption. Otherwise, you will read like a story. Yeah. Oh, I know this, I know this, I know this. At the end, you don't remember anything.
So is it open book, Mataji?
No.
There are open book exams.
We could make Bhagavad Gita open book, but still you lose time in searching, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you make notes every page.
Time will be limited.
No, we did write the exam for, I think, one chapter or something, we wrote it open book.
Yeah.
We couldn't find anything in the book. I don't know if that teacher who gave, we were searching and we couldn't, you know, words, the way you use the words. Mm. It's exactly
actually, open
like
book
that.
Paper will be more
it's
tougher
more
than
tougher
normal other paper.
You need one note, like take, like we used to do.
Can you just at least have a notebook?
Notebook has everything.
It
should be proper exam, so that will be.
We should do proper exam. So based on how you perform, let's say everything is low, everybody is doing 10, 15, then maybe we'll decrease the bar next time.
So how many questions, how much time?
Just no, same 1 hour, accordingly we will give so 100 points we'll give.
No, how many questions we ask?
Yeah, questions will be on 100 points, right? Each question will be 10, mostly 10 questions.
So
like
10
that.
Questions.
Yeah.
So now you all have to study in a group. No, it means couple, like you both discuss. And
yeah, both discuss. Like
objective and subjective, both will be included, you said, right?
But for you, maybe fill in the blanks, it's not needed, right? It's, I think we'll give only like short answers.
Yes,
short answers.
Okay. All good luck interpreting.
Oh my God. No, Mataji, it is more difficult.
Huh?
No, fill in the blanks, it will be very easy. In this, if you give all choices.
Which one, A, B, C, D?
A, B, C, D, oh.
Multiple choices.
Okay, we'll go on now. So the next one, this we covered. Now Prabhupada is talking about how practically we can remember Krishna, right? So first thing he's saying is we have to transfer our thoughts from material energy to spiritual energy. Let's say we are absorbed in newspapers, magazine, novels, TV, internet. Like one example, our Guru Maharaj is telling, once he was traveling somewhere and one lady is business class, so one lady is sitting there and she has like 7 newspapers. Whole time during the flight, one newspaper after the other newspaper, same newspaper she was reading at the end of it. But if you see, all the newspapers cover the same
context
news.
Context is the same.
Same thing, right? This happened, that happened, but in different language, everything. Whole flight she spent like that. So we have been spending like that, our lives in completely indulging in this material energy. Cricket, baseball, this thing, that thing, so many things. But slowly, slowly, we have to transfer that to spiritual literature. So especially we are so fortunate, you have so many books, like the whole, Prabhupada said, like the books he has written now in English, whole life also it's not enough for us to completely read, even months, with all our duties we are doing. So much we have, it's not there is any scarcity of the literature. We have everything, just that we have to find time to slowly change.
So maybe I'll just give my own personal example, you can, you know, how powerful the magazines, right? Here it says magazines. So when I was in the college year, I was going to San Jose State University in California. So, you know, usually the guys, we are all about cars and all, right? Sports car and all. And from India, back in India, I'm very, you know, into the F1 Formula racing. I don't know if anybody heard of it. I'm into it, from India. So when I came here, and I had a little bit money, and nobody, you know, parents, nobody is to stop. So the desires have become very stronger. So then, you know, I was working as an intern. Then I used to get $1,000 per month, you know, for the internship. That's all they used to pay. And there was one Formula One racing in Indianapolis. So for that, the ticket itself is around $500. So because I was so much into the sports, so I spent, you know, I bought the tickets. I went to watch the Formula One racing in there. So then the race day, right? Everybody was waiting for the race day. Then I was sitting in the, you know, we paid $200 for the tickets actually, to go sit there. And it's not even close by, a little bit far, right? You have to sit for Formula One racing. Then, you know, the Formula race started. We didn't even know because it's a big, you know, 4-5 kilometer, that thing, all the track, right? That's 4-5 kilometers. So then, so we were sitting there, then the race started. then everybody, you know, they're watching. Then everybody just do like this. The sound only you hear from that side. Then by the time, you know, by the time you see it, the car is over there. It's going at 300, you know, 250 kilo miles or something, very fast, very, and you cannot even see the car. It's just going like this. Then 1 hour like this. Then, you know, we decided it's not even worth. Anyway, that was the first step for me to, you know, get out of that sport. But anyway, that was a good experience. Then I used to buy, you know, all kind of magazines related to car. I used to spend a lot of money and all. But slowly, when I took up the process, because I'm just telling you, you know, how powerful the process, the Krishna consciousness process is. I was very much into it. Then when I started reading, you know, Bhagavad Gita, associating devotees, that naturally, I didn't put any effort for me to give up that. I used to get up early morning, you know, the different time, because the races takes place in different cities, in different world, throughout the world. So it's a different type. You have to get up one day early morning, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, night you have to get up at 10, watch at 10 o'clock, like that different. I was very much attached, but I didn't put any extra endeavor to stop it. So when I took up the process, that's what Prabhupada mentions here. You know, only the consciousness has to be changed. And that can happen only with association of people. So when I did that, naturally I gave up. So much attached to the cars, especially sports car, I gave up. And I was about to buy one of the sports car. See how... even before marriage, I was about to buy. But just because of, you know, association of devotees and, you know, going through Bhagavad Gita, I realized it's not really, you know, it's no fun. So... yeah, so the process is very powerful and you don't have to, you know, struggle to give up.
Not so, Prabhu. I'm trying to give up coffee. One Naveen Prabhu is there.
Yeah, Naveen Prabhu.
Yeah, so he was like, how come you are not able to give up? For 10 years I have been drinking that black coffee. If I stop now, I get such bad headaches. So
just the time. It's just a matter of time. But you will give up automatically. You don't. That's why you don't have to, you know, struggle to do some things. If you
anyway,
just follow it,
you will never put poison in your mouth.
Mataji, that's all fine. If you get sinus headache, that poison has to go in. Then on the morning, 7 o'clock, if I go and sit, I'll be like...
Yeah, it's a condition.
Yeah,
it's condition.
An addiction,
Mataji.
Addiction.
It does not go away that easily.
Yeah.
Thank God that you're not addicted.
I used to drink a lot of tea. Lot of tea.
It is much
milder.
Okay, okay.
But it is possible,
right? So one very important point, it occurred to me, I think it's going, let's cover this here because Prabhupada brought that point. He was talking about his example where he used to get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock to do, see all these things, right? So if you see actually normal, like let's say, like materialistic life or materialist life, who want to enjoy, right? They also do austerities like this. Girls whole night watching,
yeah.
Like let's say if India there is a cricket match which is day and night match, here whole night wake up and watch, right? And like sometimes whole day they will be roaming outside, they don't eat properly and things. So these are all seemingly austerities, but these austerities they do to enjoy separate from the Lord, and then what is this? No happiness, no satisfaction. So how much more should a devotee do austerities or sacrifices or penances for service of the Lord, right? Because of the love for the Lord and how, because of the happiness he's getting, real happiness he's getting. So we should not, once we come to Krishna consciousness or like devotional service, we should not start becoming complaining or becoming lazy. Oh, I have to get up so early, chant so many rounds before work. How is it possible? See, all these things come up only when we have to do service, right? Because we don't immediately don't see that somebody is like, let's say, as Prabhu is saying, we don't immediately see the results. So we say, oh, what is it going to pay? What is in it for me? But we are willing to do all these austerities for so-called material enjoyment for years together, and we didn't have any happiness. So actually there is a very nice verse which said that actually that how a miserly person, he keeps counting his coins again and he never spends anything. Same coins from this bucket to that bucket, he keeps counting. How a miserly person counts his coins day in and day out, let me chant your holy names like that, like every round, every beat, let me count like that. My Lord, let me count your names like that. So we should actually, we can get inspiration from everyone. So when I talked to my sister and how much she's telling yesterday whole night they stayed awake and they played what is that, some game, is business game or something,
no,
right?
No, not poker, bingo or something.
Some black business game. Game is there.
Monopoly.
I don't know.
Oh, Monopoly.
Monopoly, yeah. Whole night she said, oh sister, whole night we stayed, you know, 6 o'clock, our eyes were closing, everybody's so tired, we went home. I was like, oh wow, this is for New Year, for Janmashtami, this is what we do. Whole night we stay awake and chant the Lord's holy names and do all these things. And I just felt like, okay, if it's just that the purpose is changed, we'll get eternal benefit. Same things we do. We do, actually, we don't even know we do all these austerities for our kids and for our sake we do. But we, for the sake of Krishna, means the heart doesn't come.
See, the activities are there. It's not that, you know, as she mentioned, austerities we are doing every day. Activities we are doing. But with what consciousness we are doing, that's the only thing. So,
okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
My question is, even if we try for some time, whatever, but since we are not there yet, but when we are with other people who are doing, it's very difficult to withstand that thing because it's not so strong yet.
Yeah, strong.
So it's so difficult to kind of oppose or whatever, if the force of that opposite is stronger. It's very difficult.
Yes.
So how to associate with you?
Exactly.
If you think of Krishna and do it, then...
Do what?
No.
If we can think of Krishna and do drink coffee, drink the race car, that is the excuse we give, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Krishna is there too, okay, we do race car.
That's very good.
But it's that when we are really conscious about it, it's so difficult.
Yes. So that's very good point you brought about. You got the essence. Essence is the whole, everything we do, it all depends on association. Like Prabhupada said, association is so strong. If somebody has a desire to drink, right? He doesn't know anything about drinking, what to drink, where to drink, everything. Just has a desire, then suppose he has a friends who are drunkard, that's all. He's finished. Within a day, he'll become a drunkard, right? So, like that, association is so strong, it will change our... Even now, right, okay, we are coming to temple once in a while, we are doing some service, we know we are having some attraction, some happiness, some satisfaction. But the moment we go stay with the family or hear the topics again we'll get affected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why we are marginal. We are marginal, we are supposed to experience that. So all we have to do is we have to with determination, with sincerity, gradually move more and more into devotee association. Take more and more devotee association, do more and more service. So you would. And also, it doesn't mean you will give up your family.
Hmm. That's very important.
What will happen is that, at least for some time, until so that you become stronger, until that time, if it's possible to stay away, like for example, let's say India, right? You may stay 2 months in India, but you can consciously make a choice that, okay, I will go 1 month, but 15 days I will go to Yatra with association devotees, 15 days I will stay with family. Okay, for 2-3 years, everybody will complain, right? But you are doing with a heart that I let me become fixed up so I can give them Krishna. That is the heart. Heart is not like, oh, let me go away from them. They are, you know, once we start becoming Krishna conscious, we think, oh, my mother is a karmi, mother is in Maya, she watches TV, right? If we do all this, then they will go away from Krishna.
Yeah.
But our heart is, we have to bring them closer to Krishna. But for that, I need to become a little bit stronger. So give me some space. So we have to be very, very conscious of these things. And that's where intelligence, Krishna gives that intelligence. All we have to have is that sincere, Krishna, I want to come to you. I want to gradually come to you. Please guide me. Then Krishna says, right, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. He gives a buddhi yogam, intelligence. For what? Yena mam upayanti te. So that person can come to me. He's in our heart. He gives the intelligence by which this person can come to me. So then we'll go back to them now. We'll go back to them and give them Krishna. See, now I can still talk to my sister. I don't say, okay, she's probably doing completely different from what I'm doing. But we can find a way to relate to them. Because that's their only... say, what to say, their only rescue point is us. If we give up the relationship with them, there is no hope for them.
So Mataji, like something practical related to that. So when I took up this process, so my sister and my mom were kind of a little bit opposing. They were thinking, you know, we give up the family relationships. That's their main concern was, oh, you take up something spiritual, that means you will stop, you know, give up family, then you'll become sannyas or something like that, their conception. So then from that time on, I never, you know, tried to impose anything on them. I was doing my stuff. So Prabhupada very clearly says, you know, the process, you have to be strict with yourself. Whatever we are doing, we have to be strict with ourselves. For example, if I took up chanting, so I decided I will chant every day, one round or two round, irrespective of whatever happens. But I will never force somebody else to do it. So I took up that, you know, as a guiding principle. So then slowly I was doing myself chanting. And whenever we are in US, we used to offer prasad, like, you know, boga, then take the prasadam. That's all like we used to do. And the connection we had with the family, it's natural. Same thing when I call them, don't bring up any devotional service related, because they were not ready to accept anything. So I just kept that same relationship. Then gradually, within maybe, you know, 2-3 years, our relationship became much more better. You know, more stronger actually. So they started feeling, you are becoming a better person than what you were before. They started feeling. Then I said, wow, that's a very nice, you know, like your own sister, mom telling you that, you know, you have become a better person. What they knew from my childbirth, they only told. Then I said, wow, that's a nice thing. So I kept up the doing the same thing. Then now today, whenever I go back to India, so they only for me, whatever they make, they usually in India, you know, whenever they cook something, they have to taste. That's a very natural for them. Salt or whatever they taste it when they're cooking. So whenever we go, they don't do all those things. They cook, they make it ready, everything. My sister offers now. She only offers, keeps, because I told before, when 3-4 years back, right, I keep telling you, I don't eat anything if you can offer. So slowly she picked up the process. So now today whenever I go, our relationship has become more stronger, more healthy. And now whenever I go, they only make prasadam ready, everything ready. So it's just that, you know, as I said, we have to be strict with ourselves first, very lenient with others, whatever they do, let them do. But as Shyamala mentioned that, if you sincerely pray for Krishna, Krishna will give you the intelligence. And we went through this, that's why I'm sharing. It's very practical, very, very practical.
And also there will be times where you are alone or you have the choice. Those free moments, you should, like consciously, if you desire, you should invest in Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That will give the strength to sustain the low times. Like for us, like whole year, we practice Krishna consciousness. Here, there is no disturbance, nothing, no family pressure, no social pressure, no marriages to attend, no birthday parties. Mostly, we will not attend so much to attend. So, the whole year we invest, but when we go to India, even now, actually, every year we go to India, for me, it's like a test. Like my family and his, they're all practicing slowly, taking up, but still so much difference, right? And 15 days we go for yatra, 15 days we have to stay at home. That's like, wow. So difficult, actually. So that's why we should be grateful for the times where we have, where we can utilize in Krishna service. And then use, as those moments, you don't let them go. That will give you strength for those moments where you don't have a choice.
So, but once you become more stronger, then you can go back to India and then...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what, eventually we'll go back to India and there we'll do something.
But initially it's cutting some things, like you said, not attending birthday parties, not attending social...
Yes.
So it is a voluntary cutting.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
You have to do it.
Yes, consciously you have to cut it. Yes.
If I say I'm not going, then... person like,
yes,
like I'm not going,
yes,
like,
exactly.
But then there's
the thing is, especially friends and all, maybe it's okay, but close family, maybe you sometimes you cannot avoid. But
there's a conflict there initially, right? You,
yes,
then,
yes, that's exactly, that's the initial test every devotee has to go through. That is where they are showing Krishna how they want to surrender to him. That's the choice we are making. We know, but at the same time, we should not be afraid that we will remain empty-handed. We are replacing those relationships with close relationship with devotees. then we don't miss that. It's not like we'll remain empty that, okay, now I don't have any friends, I don't have any social life, right? We cannot sustain like that. So we replace those friendships, those relationships, those parties with Krishna's relationships, Krishna devotees.
So attend more functions.
Exactly. Attend more functions here, come more here. Then you are not. Exactly. Yes. That's. You have to just replace.
No, there are times when there is more busier here.
Exactly. You will feel, let me take a break, stay home like that. Yeah. So there is no dearth for social life and spiritual life. Especially that's why Prabhupada said ISKCON is created. So we can have these loving relationships with the newcomers. Devotees are there to extend, to talk, to have fun and discuss about Krishna, so many things, right?
And the guiding principle is, Mataji, like, you know, this guide, this soul rules everything. So any activity which makes you remember Krishna and makes you never forget Krishna, that's, you can, so if you, for example, if you go to a birthday party, to bring your friend closer to Krishna, if that is your sincere prayer, thinking, okay, let me go to birthday party, be a very nice, good person, and by seeing you, if the other friends gets attracted and I can bring them closer to Krishna, then it's well and good. You should go to that kind of birthday parties.
But I have to be strong
enough to
for that you need to practice.
That's why, you know, see, we can be intelligent. We can say, because there are certain gatherings where the material energy is even more powerful than individual. So those things we can consciously avoid. So we can tell, okay, I really love you, I like you, I want to spend time with you, but those things I am not so inclined. So let me spend one-to-one time with you, quality time, let's discuss something, let's talk about something, let's talk about our family, let's talk about what we did in childhood or school, like that. So these are little bit, still it's maybe material, but it's much easier to handle at our level.
So we have to see the power of ourselves.
Yes, exactly. See, for example, Prabhupada said, right? Say, okay, devotees once, they said, okay, dear Prabhupada, there is a bar here, there is in the midnight, there is some going on, something, we'll go and distribute books and do kirtan there. Said, okay, you go, as long as you are sure, you're going to come back.
If you know how to come back.
If you know how to come back, you go there. Right? Like that. So, based on our level, that's also humility. Krishna, I want to come to you, but I'm so weak, I'm not... Make me strong. So, if it's your desire that I can bring these people closer to you, you give me the strength. Yeah, but initial fear would be like, okay, what am I getting if I lose all this, right? And every time we end up maybe fighting, everybody will be complaining, oh, you're not, you're, my sister initially, she fought with me like anything. For many weeks, like she said, oh, you're no longer my sister, I used to share so many things with you, now you don't, like that, right? But now, you know, like gradually, because we become mature, they also understand, then things get better. Okay, so how we have more time?
It's almost there.
Okay.
1 hour. We can finish this.
Okay, then Krishna now gives, Prabhupada talks about practical advice Krishna gives to Arjuna. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna to stop fighting, right, and go to forest and beg. That's what usually people think spiritual life is. But he told Arjuna that you always think of me and in the form of Krishna and carry out your prescribed duties. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will certainly attain me without doubt. So that is the verse 8.7. We can, it's there. The first one. You have to move it that side. Yeah, 8.7. It's called Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Maam Anusmara Yudhyacha Mai Arpita Mano Buddhir Maam Evaishyasi Asamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So what practically Krishna is telling is, you don't stop anything, you do your duties. But you, while doing, you try to remember me. Actually, that's even more challenging. Right? We can sit and say, oh, I'm remembering Krishna, or we can do our duties very nicely. But challenge is, while doing our duties, we should remember Krishna. So we talked about like practical examples, how, let's say, different activities we do during the day, how we can remember Krishna. Like while cooking, we can consciously cook that, okay, this is bhoga for cooking for Krishna. Right, work, we know, we can like say, okay, from the results, I'm going to give to Krishna. Or
by being a good example, I am representing Krishna, so let me be like that. Right? So many ways we can practically think of Krishna. It's not that it works, some project comes and you sit and keep chanting all the time there, and your manager will come, where is the project report, and he says, Kitanya Sadahari, then it doesn't work, right? We have to do our duties. So that's the practical instruction Krishna is giving.
Yes, we'll go here.
It's there.
Screen is there.
Mouse is there. Where is mouse? Yeah, it's there. No, you go to that. Minimize. Yeah. Then, yeah, next slide. We'll go to the next slide. So then Prabhupada talks about that how everybody is bound to do work. And that's why human society is divided into four varnas. We have varnashrama, right? Four varnas and four ashramas. Four varnas are this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And all of them, based on their nature, have a particular work to do. Like Shudras, laborer kind of works. Vaishyas, mercantile and farms, community and cow protection. Kshatriyas, administrative ruling and kingdom and all those things. And Brahmanas, intelligent class, give knowledge and of the scriptures. So all these people have work. So they cannot at any point stop doing work. Even to maintain body, we have to do work. So that's the essence of that discussion. And then now Krishna is telling again the same thing. Like Krishna tells in 6th chapter about yoga process. Then Arjuna says, this yoga process is too difficult. My mind is so restless like a wind. I cannot do anything. Then 6.47, Krishna says, concludes that actually that one who... Or it's okay, we'll go later. 6.47, Krishna says, who is the best yogi, topmost yogi? That is defined here. And yoginam api sarvesham madhya gate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So Krishna is here declaring who is the topmost yogi. The topmost yogi is the one who always thinks of Krishna. That's the essence. So what Krishna is giving us is a shortcut. Okay, you cannot do this Ashtanga yoga process, inhaling, controlling a birth air, restraining things, so many. If you read this, it's very difficult. So, but he is saying, you think of me and do your duties, that's enough. That's perfection. That's the, Krishna is giving the, that, what is that they say? Easy, that is shortcut. Yeah, shortcut. He is giving us a shortcut. And Prabhupada is telling, how can we, while doing our duties, remember Krishna? How is it possible? It's only possible when we have strong sense of love for Krishna. See, when we love somebody, then we can't stop but thinking about that person. Let's say our wife or kids, right? Mother is always, even she sees the shoes of the child, she immediately remembers the child. Because of that, that sense of attachment and love brings that sense of remembrance. But we don't have that love yet to Krishna. So Prabhupada is telling, we have to develop that love. Through, we will come to that process of devotional service. And an example is given here. These are all these analogies you should remember, which may come in the exam. The analogy is of a married woman who has a lover outside a marriage. So such a person, right, she more diligently she performs her duties such a way that the husband doesn't get any suspicion. But internally she is thinking, when will I meet my paramour? And always thinking about the past tense with him or whatever these things, right? So similarly, we have to develop that love for our supreme lover while doing our duties with our husband and children and work, everything. Internally cultivate that loving relationship with the supreme lover. That's the example. Like such a strong, that attachment of that woman or a man outside marriage is so strong. They cannot, it's very difficult to, control that. So like that it should be, our attachment to Krishna. Okay, next slide. Okay.
Last one. So then how do we, what is the technique? Technique is the way we work is not with the body or senses. Usually we think, oh, my senses, my body are doing things. But actually it's a mind and intelligence. They dictate the my body and senses to work. So that's the key. So that's why if we intelligently use our mind and intelligence in service to Krishna, automatically body and senses will be engaged. So intelligently we think that, okay, how can we use our mind and intelligence in Krishna? Okay, we want to read. So once we want to use intelligence in Krishna, then automatically our body, senses, everything should be absorbed in this. Right? And mind and intelligence dictate the activity of the senses. So in second chapter, right? Yeah. I think in first chapter or second chapter, Krishna gives the hierarchy of all this. First he says the dull matter. Dull matter is, then after that senses are superior to dull matter because senses are active. Dull matter is this earth, water, fire, air, ether made of this, body is made of this, right? On top of it is senses. Senses are active. Hand can move and all those things, right? On top of that senses is
mind.
Mind is more powerful or hierarchy wise. Mind and then intelligence, then false ego, then the spirit soul, then the super soul. That's the hierarchy. If everything is in proper, but if mind is not controlled, then mind actually, senses become stronger than everything. That becomes reverse. So here we have see the example of several devotees while doing so many activities. They are completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna because they are remembering Krishna while doing those activities. Like somebody is eating prasadam, then they remember, okay, this is mercy of the Lord. Somebody is washing dishes. Somebody is cutting fruits, somebody is doing aarti, somebody is cleaning the temple. All these things, they are absorbed. Okay, this is for Krishna, this is for Krishna, this is for Krishna. So that's how then they will constantly remember Krishna. Yeah. So actually until this slide we covered last time. So we summarized everything. Sahu Prabhu getting a repeated.
No, Sahu Prabhu has already attended this introduction class already.
Not completely.
No.
Yeah.
Not this part.
So Prabhu, this time it was boring for you?
No. Actually last couple of slides they were new.
New, okay.
Yeah.
So this is from the same Bhagavad Gita PPT slides?
Okay. But I will update because we added verse numbers in this.
So we'll update the latest one later.
Yes, not like
Thursday, Friday. I'll put that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't.
Because sooner we listen, then you.
Yeah, tomorrow, usually Saturday,
actually,
right?
Last time you put the main also.
Oh, yeah. This last week was so hectic. Last Friday also we had that program, right?
The Sanatana Dharma one, the one which some class back
we
discussed that one. And
everything is there. Everything is there. I'll just post.
Okay.
By tomorrow we'll post everything and.
Mataji, you make notes of this thing.
Yeah. My notes are like, even I can't understand many times.
What happened?
Mataji, my notes are really like.
Okay.
She speaks so fast, no? So like.
Okay. So we'll stop here.
So any